Hello, and welcome to Talking Shop with CTEX. Hello. Thank you for joining us today for another session of Talking Shop with CTEX. I am Dr. Ellen Solik, privileged to be the executive director for the agency. I have a wonderful guest with me today to explore a topic that many of us hear about, but we don't necessarily know all of the details, and that is our apprenticeship programs at CTEX. With me today is Mr. Pat Cerliglio, who is the consultant for licensed trades at CTEX, as well as the complete apprenticeship programming here in the agency. Welcome, Pat.
Thank you, Dr. Solik.
We're so glad to have you.
Pleasure to be here.
So I'm going to share with the audience that Mr. Cerliglio is a sole provider of leadership and management for the apprenticeship program. And because of that, and because of the size of our program, I rarely see him except passing briefly in the night. And so we thought this would be a great opportunity to connect with you and really provide you with some very concrete information about what are apprenticeship programs at CTEX. What do you have to do to become an apprentice? What trades are there that are required for apprenticeships? And all the other details in between. So, welcome. Before we get started on the actual nuts and bolts of Apprenticeship 101, which I confess I'm excited to learn more about with you today as well, give us a little bit of history, Pat. How did you get started with this? And really, what's your background in terms of CTEX? Because I think our audience would really enjoy learning more about you.
Yeah, my background goes way back. I actually graduated. I was a student of CTEX back in the day. I graduated from the plumbing heating program at Platt Technical High School. I went directly into the trade where I worked for an employer who sponsored me with apprenticeship and the work-based learning program. So I continued with the employer for about 12 to 13 years. I was able to get all my licenses, my plumbing, my HVAC, my solar licenses. So I actually served a number of apprenticeships. And then I tested up, I opened my own business eventually. And then I thought I wanted to do something more, so I started teaching nights in the CTEX program. So I taught apprenticeship courses to apprentices who wanted to, you know, become licensed in the state. And I did that for quite a few years. And then eventually I said, I want to do this full time. So I actually became a certified teacher, and I started teaching at Eli Whitney in 1999. And then I transferred over to Buller Havens. And then an opportunity came up at Central Office where I applied for an internship, and I got it. And then I interviewed for the full-time position, and here I am.
And in the midst of that, as I recall, you fit in quite a bit of degree work as well.
Yeah, yes, I have an MBA, and I also have a six-year degree from Quinnipiac University.
So you are a walking, breathing testament mm-hmm. to what CTEX offers in terms of opportunities mm-hmm. for our students, in that you have a wealth of experience on site, on the job, in our schools with students, but you also have done the academic portion mm-hmm. that really allowed you to earn the credentials to be where you're at mm-hmm. right now. And I find that incredibly inspiring, because it's really double duty when you stop to think about it. Most of us go through master's degrees, six-year mm-hmm. programs, doctoral programs, and we're consumed just with the academic requirements, never mind doing all that you did in terms of trade-based work and developing the mm-hmm. apprenticeship program. So we're just so thrilled to have you on board. So Pat, we often hear the word apprentice or apprenticeships. And I'll speak for myself when, you know, I think back to my experience when I first came to CTEX, and I met you, and you were so knowledgeable about every detail of the apprenticeship program and even the definition of apprenticeships. Let's talk about that for our listeners for a minute, because I know for myself, I always benefit listening to just the details, the nuts and bolts of what does it mean when someone says apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. And I know they would find it fascinating that there's so many attachments to that single word. So if you could help our audience better understand what apprenticeship is all about, what does that really mean?
So yes, apprenticeship actually started here in Connecticut in 1937 with the Fitzgerald Act. So it's a formalized training program that encompasses on-the-job training and related instruction, which is academics that goes along with the on-the-job training. So it's all overseen by the Connecticut Department of Labor. They have a wonderful staff there in the Office of Apprenticeship Training. They have regional reps that are assigned to all, wherever the employer or the sponsor is located. They have a regional rep that's associated with that region of the state. So a student or an apprentice would, get an inkling to want to do electrical, let's say. So they would find a job with a contractor that would have a slot available for apprenticeship for that apprentice. So they would get their on-the-job training with that employer, and then they would need to take the related instruction or their academics that complement their on-the-job training. For that, we have thousands of students that come to us at night that do that very thing. They would complete their apprenticeship. So every category has a certain delineation. So if you want to go for an unlimited license in Connecticut, so your P2, your E2, your S2, et cetera, they would do 8,000-hour on-the-job training, which is 4 years, and also a 720-hour related instruction component. So for the related instruction component, we have the majority of the apprentices that come to us at CTECs.
So if I enter a trade, does that mean I absolutely have to go to complete an apprenticeship program? Is that for every trade or not necessarily?
No. So there's some trades that's mandated by law that you have to serve an apprenticeship. So all the licensed trades, the trades I oversee during the day as well, like plumbing, heating and cooling, we have sheet metal, we have electrical. Those are the trades that are all, it's mandatory that you have either an apprenticeship card on you or a license to work in that trade.
Which makes sense, because those are extremely demanding trades, and honestly, you want to make sure that those who practice in those trades are very exacting about the work that they're doing for obvious reasons. So that licensure totally makes sense. You mentioned something about related programming in terms of the apprenticeship program. Is there a requirement for students to also complete an academic portion in their apprenticeship?
Yes. So every apprenticeship category has a delineated number of courses that you need to do to complete in order to go to the next step, which is licensure. So you want to, you start as an apprentice, you move on to becoming a journey person. Eventually, if you're ambitious, you get your master's license in the field of your choice. So say electrical, there's 20 courses that you would need to take to be an unlimited electrician, an E2 electrician in the state of Connecticut. So that is 720 hours related instruction. We break it down into 36-hour modules or courses, taught over a span. So you need to take 20 of these courses at 36 hours each, which equates to 720 hours of related instruction.
That's a huge investment.
Yeah, it's like going to college, except on the trade side.
Yep, absolutely. And let's talk about that a little bit, because there are clearly different levels as you go through that apprenticeship program, right? So you mentioned sort of the basic 101, but then you go to a journeyman status, and then you go beyond that. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I would not be very facile if I tried to describe those stages and what that means for students in the program.
So yeah, apprenticeship is a career path. So it's there's a career ladder associated with it. You start as a apprentice. You're working on the job with an employer. You go into school at night, or if you're unionized, so there's different pathways you could choose. You could go the union route or the non-union route. Unions take care of all their related instruction and all their on-the-job training, all in-house. But majority of apprentices are non-union, so they typically go to work for like a mom-and-pop shop, ABC Electrical or some company like that. They'll sponsor that person, that apprentice, with the State Department of Labor. And then that apprentice is you have to do a commitment. So they have to understand that you should be taking classes alongside with your on-the-job training. So if you're and then the classes are laid out so that they go from very basic to more complex. So they scaffold from very basics, like introductory classes to like code 4 in electrical, or you know, there's motor generator theory, there's fire access, closed circuit TV. There's a ton of classes they take that are complement what they're doing on a job site. So they're actually learning, they're applying what they learn on a job at night.
Which is really mm-hmm. that spiraling that yeah. you reference, yeah. right? There's a direct application yeah. between the classes that they're taking and the on-the-site experience that yeah. they're gaining at the same time.
So on the job, they're doing it, but they're knowing why they're doing it at night. You know, so they're understanding why they're doing certain things when they take the related instruction, the theory behind the practice.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. All that goes on, mm-hmm. right? So if I'm an employer, What's my commitment level in terms of taking on an apprentice? What does that mean for me as an employer?
So there's commitment on both sides. So what's nice about the apprenticeship program, it provides a pipeline for the employer. So they start, you know, they're training their employees in specifics of their job. So some companies are special, you know, they specialize like generator, you know, so some companies that's all they do is generator. So their apprentices are really specialized in that field. That field of study. So now the courses actually align with exactly what they're doing, you know, on the job. This motor generator theory is one of our courses. And all the items that they're learning, it will be on their state exam when they complete their apprenticeship. The commitment is that the employer is going to ensure that the apprentice is working with a journey person. At some, you know, they're never allowed to be on their own as an apprentice. They always need to work with somebody who's licensed in that company. And so there's ratios that Department of Consumer Protection and Department of Labor oversee to ensure that, you know, apprentices are never set loose on their own. That's illegal. They can't do that.
And speaking of legal, I think you and I were talking earlier about the licensure requirements, mm-hmm. right? And how do we really know as consumers, or how can we tell if the practitioner that knocks on our door and says, here, I'm here to, you know, fix the electrical in your home, how do we know that person's licensed?
So there's so by law, they're required to have numbers on their vans, you know, on the fender, the front fender of their van. Any literature that they have, their business cards, their invoices, their quotes, all should have a number that shows the Department of Consumer Protection license number. There's also if you go to the Department of Consumer Protection website, you can look up a license. So if you're unsure, you can always go to that website and look up to ensure that, you know, the person that you have in your home is licensed. Or you could ask for the credential. By law, they're required to ask, you know, have a license or an apprenticeship card on them at all times.
I was just going to ask you that. It seems to me in this day and age, mm-hmm. the consumer would feel even more secure just mm-hmm. being able to say, could you show me your license? And I think that's helpful for those of us who are on the other end, if you will, to know that there's some security in that. That's helpful to know.
Yeah, By law, they're required to carry, you know, it's illegal to work in the licensed trades unless you're licensed or apprenticed. So you need to have that, you know, that card that shows that you are in your pocket. Apprentice cards get renewed every year. So that's a commitment on the employer's part to ensure that they renew their apprentice for another year. So in the end of June, you know, to July 1st, they have new cards that are issued to them.
So that's coming mm-hmm. out pretty
yeah,
quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
So going back to the employer side of this equation for a minute, is that something that you do along with CTEC's colleagues that you work with? Do you go out and recruit business and industry partners that want to take on apprentices throughout the season? What does that look like? I think so, our listeners would find that interesting.
Yeah. I actually, employers call me all the time. We have a large company down in Stratford, NCON. They actually called me to come visit with them. So I meet with them numerous times just to show them what our program is like. And, you know, in kind of like I offer the students, the apprentices, to come to our school at night to visit to see if it's something they're interested in. So a lot of companies are moving away from some other providers and coming to us at CTECs. We're cost effective. We're a nonprofit organization, so we don't make a profit on our night school. It's a service to the state of Connecticut that we offer.
And I think also it's to our listeners' advantage to realize that we really are statewide. We have, right now, we have a total, including the aerospace schools, we have a total of 20 schools across the entire state. So you probably spend at least half your week in terms of work time on the road. If you're supervising programs and out with employers and all of that. So it's a very active lifestyle.
Very much so. Yeah. So yeah, we have 20 daytime sites, but at night for CTECs, for apprenticeship programming, we have 7 locations across the state. And they're all strategically placed so that, you know, employers could send their apprentices to us so they don't have to drive for it. Now we even expanded to offer 3 tiers of delivery. We offer the traditional on-ground. We offer a hybrid where the student could log in from, you know, the hours the professor's teaching or the instructor's teaching. And then we also have asynchronous, which is at your own pace. So you need to complete the modules. You could be watching football on a Sunday afternoon and you know, completing your coursework at the same time. We try to make it very convenient for the students.
I can imagine there are students who greatly appreciate that model because it does give everyone some flexibility, especially if you're a Giants fan. So let's talk about for a minute. You mentioned 7 locations, back to sort of the physical orientation for a minute. Can I put you on the spot and ask you where those are, just so our listeners have an idea?
From the west to east, I'll do it. So it's Abbott Tech in Danbury. We have Buller Havens in Bridgeport. We have Eli Whitney in Hamden, Prince Tech up in Hartford, Bristol Tech in Bristol. And then we have Norwich Tech on the east side. And then we also have Caner Tech, which is a new addition to our school.
So we really are spread across the state in terms of apprenticeship programs.
From west to east.
Which is wonderful. And I know Governor Lamont, who's been very responsive, certainly and supportive to us, is considering transportation opportunities, too, for students across the state, which, of course, would include CTEC students and apprentices. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that comes through. So, Pat, I'm curious about how our apprenticeship program connects with our students who are currently enrolled at CTECs in grades 9 through 12.
Oh, that's a great question. So I'm a perfect example of that. So I graduated from a CTECs program. I was able to get, I had 1,500 hours of on-the-job training with my plumbing heating diploma from Platt Tech. And I had all my related instruction that goes along with it. So our students are very fortunate that, you know, we have a great relationship with Department of Labor. They looked at our curriculum. They reviewed it. They said, yeah, we have ample, you know, award for this criteria. So if you're in electrical or plumbing or HVAC programs, you get the full unlimited endorsement for the related instruction. Then you also get the 1,500 hours of OJT towards the 8,000 hour requirement. So,
wait, and what's OJT? Sorry,
on the job training. I'm sorry. Yeah, I use a lot of acronyms.
Great.
In the
So it sounds like credit requirements and curriculum are very smooth transition for students who've gone through the CTECs programming and now want to become a licensed tradesperson.
Yeah, so they have the students get their high school diploma along with a career endorsement, and that career endorsement is what all our students are at night wish they did. they get it with their high school diploma, our kids. And then there's also apprenticeships that are not for non-licensed trades, but there's no licensure at the end. So manufacturing is a good example for that. Our students in the manufacturing programs also get that, you know, but you know, at the end they get a certificate of completion instead of a license. So that's you know, apprenticeships are for every trade. There's baking apprenticeships, there's automotive apprenticeships, there's all types.
So let's go to the nuts and bolts of signing up for this wonderful program. If I'm an adult learner and I've really come to a crossroads in my career and I want to enter a trade, but I don't necessarily have all of the background that would be required, where do I go? How do I start? What does this look like?
So it would be best to do some research before you start any program. Department of Labor has a lot of resources that are available. They have these career pathways manuals that describe what the trades are, you know, the working conditions of the trade, you know, the background, the education background that you need for these trades. I would do a little bit of homework before signing up for anything. And then we have introductory courses that are available. Intro to Plumbing is a course that is one of our first year courses. I would suggest taking one of those courses that before you, you know, just to dip your toe in the water just to see if it's something you like.
So I can just sign up and take a single course without committing to the whole apprenticeship program.
That's the beauty of our program. It's all a la carte. You don't need to make a four-year commitment. You take your courses, you know, so we're a break-even district, so we don't make a profit, and you just pay as you go. There's no FAFSA or anything student, you know, we're doing it as a service to the Connecticut apprentices.
That's really interesting, Pat, because I think our listeners probably assume that they have to, you know, go in both feet. And it's great to know that they can not only gain the research online and also through CTEC, but through the Department of Labor. That's, I'm sure, really helpful. Is there an age requirement on this?
So 18 is typically the age of an apprentice. A high school graduate is one of the recommendations. And then just do a little bit of research and see which, you know, trades. If you don't like heights, maybe electrical is not that good. You don't want to be a line worker, probably, because you're working up pretty high. But, you know, there's all different requirements and physical attributes for every trade. So you might want to see what fits you best.
And if I'm thinking economically, right, and I want to enter an apprenticeship program, I probably want to go into one where the need in terms of future employment might be greatest. You mentioned linemen for electrical, which I can imagine is always a high demand area. What other trades would you identify in terms of licensed trades
average age of all the trades are, you know, is climbing. Like 55 is like the average age for plumbers and I think all the licensed trades, it's the same case. So they're all in demand. Electrical, HVAC, sheet metal, we have plumbing. They're all high demand trades right now.
And if I were going to estimate how long it would really take me, you mentioned over 700 hours, mm-hmm. right, in total in terms of time commitment. But realistically, if I enter more of the flexible mm-hmm. hybrid model that mm-hmm. you mentioned earlier, just estimating rough number, how many years is this going to take me, do you think, to get through these levels and mm-hmm. get the licensure that I'm required to get in order to go into the trade?
So there's no fast track in the on-the-job training. That's, you know, it's the Department of Labor calculates 2,000 hours per year. That's based on a 40-hour work week, 50 weeks a year. So that's how they get to 2,000 hours a year. There's many license categories, so you don't need to start as unlimited plumber or unlimited electrician or HVAC tech. There's limited licenses where you could get a license in as little as a year for like a burner service tech. That's a 1-year apprenticeship program. So that's maybe a good pathway. And those courses apply towards the unlimited license. So that's a good way to.
I was just going to ask you that. So mm-hmm. if I commit to the year long program mm-hmm. and then I decide, gee, this mm-hmm. really is something I want to pursue, I can build from there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's wonderful. So going forward for a minute, I'm just graduating from Mr. Charleglio's 4-year apprenticeship program. I'm fully licensed. Do I just jump out there? Do I buy my van and just jump out there? Where do I go from there? What do employers and advisors really give to students when they transition mm-hmm.
so
from that program?
You can still work. So if you're employed by me and you have a license, now I could send you on your own and you could actually start training the future apprentice. So I would pair you up with another apprentice and put you to work. And that apprentice would actually get their related, you know, instruction at night and their on-the-job training as well through my company. But if you want to open your own business, you would need to get a contractor's license. So that's another exam. All contractor exams are 2 years after you receive your journeyperson's exam. You pass your journeyperson's license. And there's also a business exam that it goes along with that. So you would have to actually take two more exams, the trade theory knowledge exam and the business component.
So much like your career mirrors, there's a hands-on experiential exam or series of exams to be passed, and then also more of the academic level of rigor as you go forward.
Yeah.
Absolutely fascinating, Pat. I have a feeling that our listeners may not be aware of all that it takes to really go forward and become an independent, right, tradesmen in the fields that require licensure, it's reassuring in a lot of ways because people can bank on the fact that these tradesmen and women are highly qualified to do the jobs they're doing, and yet the demands are pretty rigorous. So let's just explore one more area real quick if we can. If I've done my homework and I've gone to the Department of Labor site, I've read everything I need to read, and I really want to sign on for this program, what are the steps, just the basic steps? Is there a place I could go on the CTECS website? Is there, how do I go from there?
So we have all our information listed on our website. It's www.cttech.org. At the top, there's a banner that says Adult Education. And you just click on that, and then it'll take you to all our adult offerings. So we have multiple adult offerings. We have the airframe schools, airframe mechanic schools, which we have two of. We have the Bristol Tech that we have. That's a tech ed center for adults. And then we have the night school program that I oversee. All that information, schedules are posted, registration dates are posted, the locations are all posted. It's all on the website.
Great. And if I still have questions, is there a contact person on the website also that I could reach to ask questions?
Yeah, they could reach out to me, or they could reach out to any of the supervisors that oversee this. They're on site at the seven locations.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Pat, I can't thank you enough. What a wealth of information we just got from our short session. I can't wait to have you back, because my thought is that we can bring at least one star apprenticeship student back to include on our next show and really get the student perspective as well, which would be a lot of fun to do. So thank you so much for sharing everything that you do. I should let our listeners know, too, before we end today, that on my arrival about 3 years ago, I recall seeing a number around 1,500, 1,700 apprenticeship students enrolled. I believe we have almost double that, if not more.
Over double that. We grew. The program has grown quite a bit, especially since the new offerings and delivery systems that we have. Students are, fast-tracking through the related instruction now with the asynchronous. So that's, you're not locked into physical dates anymore. You can kind of take it. So you could load up on classes.
That's wonderful. Pat, thank you so much for joining us today, for sharing all that you do and all that you know. And we'll do this again.
All right. Thank you, Dr.
Thank Stoll. You.